Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabip Media, 19.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, improving knowledge and understanding of asthma for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families online, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Gabriel McCallum, a Menzies Senior Research Fellow and Project Lead on the topic we've got online. Dr. Gabriel, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming to the program. So where are you based, Doctor?
We're based in Darwin.
In Darwin, Northern Territory.
So nice and warm up here at the moment.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about improving knowledge and understanding of asthma for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families for our mob online. We are in the 21st century. Use the tools that are available, and that's exactly what you're doing, yes?
Absolutely. We're very excited to launch this new app. It's been coming for a long time. We've initially developed some educational flip charts with a whole First Nations stakeholder group, and the families loved it. So we had bronchiolitis, pneumonia, asthma and bronchiectasis. But our families said, we need to make sure we have education that we can access at our homes, you know, outside of a health clinic. So they were the ones on our family on the ground who said, look, we really need these apps. So that started us on this journey of learning how to develop an app that was going to be culturally appropriate for families. It was fun. It was interactive. We've got lots of quizzes on there. So, yeah, it's been a great journey.
Well, fantastic. So we are talking the 21st century. We are talking the information age and using the tools that are available. Working smarter, not harder is what I'm picking up, Dr. Gabriel.
Absolutely, that's exactly right.
So with this, how did it all come about in regard to the community? You're hearing from grassroots. The community are coming to the table with a concept or solution, so to speak, and you massage that idea and that concept to make it come to life, so to speak, yep?
That's exactly right. So within our team, in our child health respiratory team, we have a number of First Nations research nurses, which is wonderful, and in collaboration with an Indigenous reference group that we have here, there was a lot of discussion about what we need, what's there, what's lacking, and with a lot of our families here across in the top end of the Northern Territory, they were the ones who were talking to us and saying, look, this is what we definitely need. So, you know, we wanted to listen. This is coming from the voice of the people on the ground.
Sure.
So we can actually help families, and they can, you know, talk within their family groups at home and saying, look, this is what my child has.
Yes.
They have this asthma condition. This is how we need to keep looking after their lungs well. This is how we can help manage, you know, and look after, you know, what happens in an emergency. What do we do? And that was one of the big things that we found when we evaluated the app with families. So we invited 80 Indigenous carers of their children who had asthma to evaluate the app, because we didn't want to promote something that wasn't effective. So the app showed that before and after using the app, knowledge of asthma really improved, and so the families, you know, they loved it. They thought it was fantastic, and particularly one of the most exciting parts of the app is that we have you can use the app with a voiceover in local Indigenous languages from Northern Australia and Central Australia, which is just, it's so much fun for families. And so we have 7 local language groups here, and also English, but we also are very keen to be able to have the app if other Indigenous communities around Australia want their local language included in this, you know, we'd be very happy to talk to them about this so that we can get education out in people's mother tongue so, you know, we can understand, you know, how to look after lungs well, what do we do with different types of condition, how do we treat and manage and just keep our lungs healthy.
Exactly. And so we've got the app there and the horse hasn't already bolted. So for mob out there who want to bring their language to the table, there is flexibility and to add to the app, yes?
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. So we couldn't have done this without the funding from Asthma Australia. And Queensland Health as well had already had supplied some funding as well, so which has been, you know, we're very, very grateful for that. But the great thing is the app's free to download on the Google and Apple stores. So we're all about making sure that people all around Australia can have education that, you know, is easy to digest because often it can be hard for people to understand, you know, all that medical terminology and that jargon.
Exactly.
So we want to make sure it's in a way that people can understand and, you know, support each other in their families.
Exactly. So what's the app called?
So the app is called Lung Health for Kids.
Lung Health for Kids. Okay, lovely.
That's right. So it's so this is the asthma is the first app to be released on that on the app. So we have bronchiolitis pneumonia and bronchiectasis. These are our other three apps that we are hoping to be released in the next 1 to 2 months.
Fantastic. And with our mob, are numbers high regarding asthma?
Yeah, so around 18% of people, Indigenous people around Australia have asthma. Yes, so it is...
Want to bring those numbers down, don't we?
Yeah, asthma's common in all people, but yeah, certainly we do find that asthma, it's one of the, you know, when people going to health clinics, asthma's a real problem for people. So if we can get education out there about how to best look after our lungs and stop having these flare-ups and these triggers, then, you know, these kids particularly, you know, we can get the kids' lungs healthy, you know, so they can be strong adults.
And Dr. Before you go, what's one of the main causes for asthma?
Oh, there's lots of different reasons for asthma. Quite often we find that it's in a family history.
Okay, hereditary?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are different ways of getting asthma as well. You might find that if you were a little one and had a really a viral infection of bronchiolitis, sometimes that can cause asthma as well. But there's lots of different reasons for asthma.
All right, fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. So Lung Health for Kids, that's the new app. And get online, check it out and get educated. Dr. Gabriel, thank you very much. All the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe.
Thank you so much and to you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Dillian there, Dr. Gabriel McCallan. Her name is Menzies Senior Research Fellow and Project Lead, and talking about the new app, Lung Health for Kids, and that's improving knowledge and understanding of asthma for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families online. I always say, are you online or in line? It is the 21st century, and get with the program, your mob. Get online, get that information, and knowledge is power, or I say potential power. We've got to act with that knowledge. To Daily Mob, have you say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Baller on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, the host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. To Deadly. Your mob over Yarrabah. Good morning. Hope you're well. Here's Yarrabah is paradise. That it is. You won't argue, mob. Yeah, beautiful track there. Yarrabah is paradise. Yarrabah mob, I hope you agree. Of course you will. This is your daily program. It is National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, the host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. Us, BBM, Bummer, Brit Media, 99.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now the federal government's delay in releasing recommendations on what form an Indigenous voice to Parliament should take, as well as Indigenous deaths on custody. We're going to have a yarn now with Senator Nita Green, a member of Australian Labor Party, on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me and to talk about these very important topics.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming to the program. Look, a very important topic, and we're talking about having a voice in Parliament. Long time waiting. I had discussions, of course, from the Uluru Statement from the Heart back in 2017 in May, and it's still in the so-called in tray, and we need action. They say, well done is better than well said, don't you agree, Nita?
I do agree that we need some action on this. I think the government has had this in their in tray for well over 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And it is very disappointing that they've made a decision to delay consultation and ultimately constitutional recognition during a time where, I guess for me at least, COVID-19 has really showed why we need to have a voice to Parliament and why this journey of voice, treaty and truth is so important.
And then back in 2019, we had the Indigenous Australian Minister, Ken White, who has said he's committed the Morrison government to the referendum on the recognition of Indigenous people within the next 3 years. And here we are, 2020. Yes, we have COVID-19. Yes, we had bushfires. That shouldn't affect in regard to decision-making or conversation starting, yes?
I agree with you. It shouldn't be something that's delayed because of those factors. In my mind, actually, the devastating pandemic that Australia's been through should be enticement for the government to speed up this process. And, and look, I understand that there are consultations that need to occur, and we would never, Labor would never want this to be pushed through in a way that, you know, excludes the voices of the many communities around the country that want to have a say on what this looks like. But I don't understand why there is a delay, and I would like to see the government commit to doing something well before the next federal election, because this shouldn't be an election issue. It just should be exactly something that we get done as part of reconciliation. And I, as you know, I sit in the Senate and I sit there with Senator Patrick Dodson, and I wonder, you know, how much longer are we going to make people like Patrick Dodson wait to get this very important, and lots of people in the community, not just Senator Dodson, but, you know, I see him make speeches over and over again about how important constitutional recognition is and how important a voice to Parliament would be and how it would change the way that we have a conversation about the very important things that need to occur to lift the rates of healthcare and housing in our country for Indigenous people. And I just don't think that we should be delaying it any further than we need to.
Exactly. Senator, when you look at the so-called, and we sound like broken records, closing the gap, and that's in all facets of life, housing, employment, health, education, and all the above. So the voice is a structural mechanism, you could say, to give Indigenous Australians input in policies and legislation that impact our mob, you know?
And housing has been a very important issue that I'm very concerned about since becoming a senator, because obviously when you live in the far north Queensland, you have a greater understanding of how big an impact housing has on communities. But COVID-19 has showed us that without...
it has exposed it, hasn't it?
That is, I mean, if you have to lock down entire communities to the point that they cannot leave their homes because the housing and healthcare outcomes are so poor, I mean, that is something that we need to fix as a country.
Well, exactly. When you're talking about 2-3 families living in one house and we live them in a first world country, that's not right.
No. And we don't want to have a situation where governments are sort of passing the buck to other governments. Like, this is something that state and federal governments need to come together and fix and find a long-term solution. At the moment, we know that the federal government has only committed a one-off payment to councils in the Far North Queensland district. Mm-hmm. To build, a small portion of the housing that we need. But we want to see some long-term reoccurring funding to make sure that this is something that isn't just fixed, like a Band-Aid solution.
Exactly.
We need a long-term solution for our communities in Far North Queensland.
And we're not talking expenses here. We're talking investment and we're talking about necessities, aren't we?
Well, I think that housing is a fundamental human right.
Exactly.
And we've shown through COVID-19 that not only is having a house important, financially, but also from a healthcare point of view. When you're asking people to isolate themselves and to keep themselves distant from the community if they're sick, well, how do you do that if there's 10 or 12 people living in your house? You simply can't do it. And the fact that you can do it in cities around the country, but you cannot do it in communities like Yarrabah and up in Cowan and places in the Torres Strait is a chance for us to understand that there is something deeply broken, deeply wrong about the way that we are funding these solutions. Mm. And I have always considered that constitutional recognition and a voice to Parliament is a piece in the puzzle about getting these things right.
Well, it gives us a platform to be heard, and that's the most important thing. So you as the Senator, so where do we go from here? When we have Parliament sitting, this conversation put across the table, and a conversation needs to be had, but there needs to be action behind it, and you can push for that, is that right?
Well, I sit on the First Nations Caucus Committee within the Labor Party, and we have been discussing these topics with people like Linda Burney, who is our Shadow Indigenous Minister, and also Malindira McCarthy, who's a Senator from the NT. I know all of your listeners would be aware of Ledley Malindiri.
Yep, we know our sisters,
And we, we just keep raising these issues in the Parliament. That's our job. Last week in Parliament, I sat there and I listened to Senator McCarthy read out the names of people who have died in custody. Mm. And it was incredibly powerful, and it was truth-telling. And we need to be those voices in the Parliament telling these truths until we get to a point where we are finally listened to.
Well, we hear the phrase that, a march for our mob, deaths and black deaths in custody and Black Lives Matter. We mean all lives matter. We do mean that. But it's just that what's happening with 437 odd deaths in custody, black people at that and no convictions, there's something wrong with that.
And I think the problem is, we talk a lot about statistics and there's lots of, numbers and facts and figures that people want to...
You there? Doctor? Senator? Senator Nita. I've lost her there, having a deadly yarn with Senator Nita Green, member of the Australian Labor Party, in our conversation was about the importance of having an Indigenous voice to Parliament. It's in the so-called intray after the Uluru Statement back in 2017. So we are still behind the eight ball, and we're having a robust conversation there with Senator Nita Green, but lost her. We'll try and get her back to finish our conversation. But they're the topics that we're talking about here on National Talk Black. You can add to the conversation 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yana with a bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have you saying Yana strong, try and get Nita back, continue the conversation, but the lines are open, you mob, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Deadly track there, Jump to Love with Christine Arnoux. Big shout out my sister. Go back to our beautiful conversation with Senator Anita Green on the line. You there, Anita?
I am here. I love that track. It's a really good one.
Good track, yeah, thank you. Yeah, we don't want the conversation to go in the tray regarding our yarn here, but a very important conversation. And look, thank you very much for sharing, but we need action, and the old phrase, well done is better than well said, yes?
Yeah, we want to see some particularly after this period that we've gone through. We are heading into an economic recession. We know that funding is going to be hard to come by, but I don't want to see any cuts to funding that might improve the very grave statistics that we're talking about.
Mm.
And I think the way to do that is to have more people from communities be part of the decision-making process.
Well, exactly. And if you look at it, it's to me, it's simple. We're complicating. Life is simple. People complicated. All government complicated. We need to make it right. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team. Your family, stay safe. And please keep in touch regarding our conversations.
Thanks, Trev. I really appreciate the yarn. And look, if there's anyone who during this time is having a difficult time and they're not sure where to go for support, they can always contact my office because we are here to provide that support and to link people up with services they might need at this moment. We just want to make sure that we get through this very difficult period,
yes.
Come out bigger, better, stronger,
yes.
And hopefully we'll see a voice to Parliament sooner rather than later.
Senator Anita Green, thank you very much. Keep smiling. Take care, eh?
Yeah.
Bye-bye. There it is, a beautiful yarn there with Senator Anita Green, member of Australian Labor Party, and our conversation regarding Indigenous voice to Parliament, also you know, black deaths in custody, all the topics. But, yeah, her doors are open, and give her a call if you've got any concerns. And they work for the people. We are the people, you mob, so do add to the conversation. Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, with the ball you're on, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, with your daily program, National Talk Black.
Hey, what you doing, your mom? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Why is it hard to find a true solution? Peace as one, but I know now greed and deception have always been your plan. When my freedom is debated, you decide to drop my faith. Crisis. Crisis. No man is another's master, yet you all share the crime to bring about a disaster,
a cruel injustice
trick. Grace from mystery will become a victory. Crisis.
The night I'm dispossessed.
Crisis. Lord, Lord. Crisis.
The night I'm dispossessed.
Very good morning, you Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. And you can have your say and yarn up strong on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to talk to a deadly brother now. He's a designing, building the world, one of the first Indigenous architecture in Melbourne, Victoria, and got him on the line. That's Mr. Jeff Greenaway. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, brother. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Certainly. Yeah, so my mob's Wawong Kamilaroi country, which is northwest New South Wales, up around Tamworth way.
All right, fantastic. Now, Victorian Indigenous architect. So tell us your story, your journey and how it all began, and have you always had this passion to be in this field?
Yeah, certainly it started with a passion in drawing, and as we know, our mob are quite creative. But my first love was actually politics. I studied a political science degree, and then I did a technical drafting course, and that was my stepping stone into architecture. And I guess I've always been interested in how things fit together, and having that ability to draw certainly played a big part, but also having that curiosity and understanding of, you know, things like, you know, construction and seeing things built. But I see architecture really as another form of cultural expression.
And look, in this field, and coming from a industry of 60,000 odd years, First Nation people, I think that's a good fit in regarding the future and what have you, and building bridges, so to speak, pardon the pun.
Yeah, 100%. You know, a lot of people forget that we were architects, landscape architects, designers for millennia. So it's really important to understand how it's very much culturally connected. And often I sort of say that the importance of how we connect a country can actually be explored through designing the places and spaces in which we inhabit. So it's really a good way to tell our stories as well. So we can actually embed through design some real powerful stories that connect to place and start to reveal some of those layers of history and memory that exist as well. So it's certainly an area that I think fits really nicely with Indigenous people.
So in regards to the work that you do, are you working in your own business at the moment, or are you working with a firm, and what sort of projects you got on the table?
Yeah, so I run my own architectural practice. So we've been running for over 20 years now, Greenaway Architects, and we do a whole range of work. So we do everything from a one-off house for a client, but we also do a lot of work within the university sector, particularly doing, for instance, Indigenous units. But we also, landscape designs. We do, a whole range of community projects as well. So we do, community centres, and we do, commercial projects. So it's quite a breadth and broad sort of spread of different project types.
Sure.
But one thing that anchors and connects it all is a desire to reflect our own history and tell our own stories.
And so do you feel a need to give back and offer your skills to the Aboriginal community as such?
100%. Well, it took me a while to actually feel confident that I had something that I could offer back to the community. And, we always, like to be invited in. We certainly never sort of impose ourselves on community. So we start.
Well, you're a black man, you know that, brother. So that's powerful,
that's
brother.
Right. That's right. Certainly. So we work with traditional owner groups all the time and seek to find ways where we can actually really embed and strengthen and celebrate culture. And so, what we're finding now is there's a real appetite to do that in meaningful ways. Back in the day, it was really pretty tokenistic in how we approached it. And I often say, gone are the days of hanging a dot painting in a foyer and thinking that's going to cut it. It's just not.
Exactly.
Even the community are saying, well, we actually have to do this in a much more sophisticated way, but we can do it in a way which is really powerful and evocative and engaging, and it really can actually transform a lot of the places that we work with.
Well, there lies the importance of communication. So when you're talking about dealing with TOs and designing something for a First Nation organisation or a corporation as such, and you're at the table, that communication and that the conversation as such with the TO, with your vision and your profession, it comes to fruition in regard to the design and going into the future, yes?
Oh, certainly, and I think there's a real opportunity here to move beyond the deficit discourse around Indigenous culture to one which is very strength-based and actually is celebrating, and this is where it becomes really a useful way to showcase, particularly with the younger members of community to say, well, this is an area that you could consider as a profession as well, because we punch above our weight in all the other creative realms, and architecture is kind of the last piece in the puzzle of a creative endeavour that hasn't really been fully embraced by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders.
That's fantastic. Look, and love the work that you're, the industry you're working in, and it's great for our people and great for yourself. But 20 years you've been running in regard to your own business, so that just shows that most businesses, when they do start, it's first 5 years, whether or not they're going to make it or break it, so to speak. But you've been there 20 years, so you've got the school on the board, and it's fantastic to have a First Nation man as Indigenous architect, and that you are. Great talking to you, my brother, and all the best to you and your team and your family, and look, stay safe, and we'll be yarning soon, Jeffa.
Well, thanks for the conversation. I've really enjoyed it, and certainly, we live in challenging times, and I think certainly design can be a vehicle to change things for the better, and very much enjoyed the conversation.
All the best to you. Thank you very much, Jeffa. You take care, bro.
Terrific. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there with the first Indigenous architect in Victoria, Mr. Jeff Greenaway, and I've been running his own business for 20 years, and he's also working closely with TOs and traditional owners in regard to designs for buildings or organisations as such. So fantastic. Good to have that brother in your pocket, so to speak, in regard to your vision for your future for your organisation. You can have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We got across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out to that Deadly team down that way. Housed at the Beamer office, Brisbane Digital Media Association, a Deadly network across the nation for all our black fellas in radio. To Deadly Mob, have you say 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, lock that number in your mob, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, ready to have your say in yarn. Please give us a call. And we've got Michael on the line. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Hey, my small brother.
I'm Michael Newey, my brother. Which way? Hey, my brother.
Hey, all good.
Long time no here. Where are you, in the Straits?
No, I'm here in Idaji.
You're Dindi. All right, beautiful. Let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Zenith Kids, once known as Torres Strait.
Yes.
Polynesia, Melanesia, and Seven River, KPO.
Beautiful. Good mixture, my brother.
And PNG, yeah.
PNG same mixture. One talk.
Yeah, same mob.
Same mob.
Same
we
mob
know it. Too deadly, my brother. So, look, here we are, 21st century, COVID-19, black deaths in custody, as in Black Lives Matter, all is at the table, and we are still in this fight, aren't we, my brother?
Yeah, like all lives matter, because when you...
Yes.
Like when you're breathing, you're alive, and you got to survive. There's a rally next week.
Yes, right? There is. Yep. Big Sam Becker organised one here in Cairns, Friday 3rd of March. And that's...
Yeah, I encourage people to turn up because...
Yes.
Because of the race laws in this country, and we need to get rid of it. Mm. And we need to get put it out there. They got to stop. They got to stop what they do. Government got to stop what they're doing.
Yes.
They got to stop, and they got to stop killing our people in jail.
Yeah.
All that. It all comes back down to the racism right across the world.
Mm.
if we can get rid of TB in Australia, what kind of country we want to live in, you know?
And that's the core of it all, racism, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe we should, like, change the government structure, you know, get rid of the so-called Western democracy or Westminster system, because it's based around lies.
Mm.
And, you know, even the constitution based around lies too. So I think we need to go back to setting up our own provisional governments, so that we can manage our own selves and manage our own land, like from what we've done in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, what's happening now, it doesn't work. So we need changes, yeah, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the whole white man system doesn't work anywhere in the world. Yeah, it only works for the 1% rich people, you know, because they set themselves up way back then with slavery. So when you have, like, every time you look at a sugarcane paddock, you want to get rid of it all, because it was a slavery to build everything in this country, even the sugarcane paddocks. You know, you've got to get rid of it.
Yes.
And grow food.
Yep.
Things like that. We've got to live differently after this COVID virus. We've got to think differently and live differently. Most people need to live off the grid too.
Sure.
Get away from the cities and that, because the cities are all based around, you know, capitalism, and it's an entrapment.
Concrete people. Jungles.
Yeah, that's what we need to branch out and take responsibility too, like, especially fathers,
yes,
and brothers, and, you know, the men in the family need to take the responsibility.
Step up, be true warriors, brother.
Yeah, and start taking your children everywhere you go to and train them. Mm. Train them all the time.
Educate, you know?
Yeah, that's why children are lost today, because there's no father figure. There's, you know,
no direction. Exactly, brother, exactly.
Yeah, so the thing is, like, for me, I like to see Australia, we having our own president, you know?
Mm.
Our own gulag, our own president.
Get away from the Commonwealth?
Yeah, get away from the Commonwealth, because for us, as people in general, we take over the mineral resources and the natural resources in this country and own it. Because the amount of super that is sitting there, trillions and trillions of dollars, it is, you could buy all the stock on the stock exchange and give it back to the people from its profit.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, our families was here before the government and every other institution. So, you know, it's feed the family first.
Yep.
That's one of my slogans, feed the family first, because the family was the first institution on this planet.
Yes.
Before all this game and ideology come on, socialism or communism or democracy and all that kind of crap. Because it is, you know, the democracy is designed to serve only the sorcerers of this earth.
Mm.
You know, the sorcerers that call themselves kings and queens and nobles and, you know, the billionaires or whatever they call themselves. But they're sorcerers. You know, when you go out into the world and kill people and destroy people's lives, well, you're a sorcerer.
Yeah, okay.
You do it openly.
Yeah, sure, brother. You know? Yeah. And in their terms, legally.
Yeah, because it's a demonic culture to go out and kill another human being.
Mm.
So that makes you a sorcerer. So all these ism schism that they've laid out all over throughout the world and invaded the world, well, it's an act of genocide, and that act of genocide is sorcery, because that's what they practice, and they practice it openly. You know,
it's their number one tool, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's been
their weapon.
You know, they've been playing with that demonic stuff ever since. come into Europe. And then now it's all over the world now today that, you know, 18 million people, children go missing every year.
Mm.
Where do they go?
Exactly. You know? Yeah, sure. Yep.
Yeah, because there is something going on that we need to find out. That's why we need to take control of our country.
Mm.
You know, and people, everybody, either you're black, white, blue, or brindle, you know, like, we as people, that's... use people power to take over this country and get rid of the government system today, because it's all based on around lies, and get rid of the institution that are destroying this country and destroying our people's lives, and get rid of all those mining companies that, you know,
knocking down our sacred sites. Yeah. Exactly, brother. You know, it's all for the dollar, all for the money, isn't it?
Yeah, get rid of them. Well, we own it as people of this country. We own all the mineral rights and resources of this country.
Yeah, the land, what's beneath the land and what's above the land.
Yeah. I mean, there is no gap. There is no... There's the only thing is it's all about money.
Mm, exactly.
The only gap is the hole in the face there. You know?
And that forms greed, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a greedy way to live. In the, you know, like, why should... majority of, you know, people suffer, you know, and then everybody gets a minority, it's bunch of everybody.
Powerful words, my brother. Look, great to hear your voice, my brother. I'm going to keep moving. Michelangelo, one love, brother. Stay in touch.
Yeah, one love to you too and everybody else. Thank you.
Well. Beautiful yarn there, Michelangelo Newey, from the Torres Straits here on your dingy country and visiting. So it'd be good to catch up with that, brother. Have you saying yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Got about 9 minutes left on the program. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Sister Sylvia all the way from WA. Sylvia, there.
Kaya Kwav Kedala, and greetings to Michael. He says everything so truthfully and wonderfully.
Yes, and a deadly black man, and he threw his hat in the political arena a couple of times, unsuccessful, but he still fights for us and using his weapon in regard to his voice. Yeah, beautiful. How are you, Sylvia?
I'm making sure I keep alive, keep on going, because staying alive is winning. When you've got all that genocide and wrong foods and selfish lying about us in the media and everything going on. So to share that out with everybody when you're feeling down, staying alive is winning. You know,
exactly.
Michael said everything so well, I feel a bit surplus at the end, because I actually phoned to show that if everybody, including the governing, looting, polluting regimes who are camping for free on Aboriginal people's land, start listening to the ancient wise culture of these people, of the rightful custodians, First Nations, all our ancestors here, who teach us how to care for the land so we don't have those horrific fires that they cause with their mismanagement and climate change.
Yes.
With all the COVID, unemployment and the money being thrown here and other people not having any money, they could be putting that money into the land care. Mm-hmm. People can work
exactly.
with social distancing, as you call it, out on the land, cleaning it out traditional way, instead of, you know, taking out the wood. Wood can be used, it can all be turned into topsoil. There's a world shortage of topsoil, so there's so many opportunities out that the invading regime has to get involved in with Aboriginal and other people for the environment's sake, you know.
Yes.
A win has been the water, fish in the water in Venice, clean air, clean skies. You know, the wish, a bit of a win has been through the COVID, as the environment has benefited a little bit from it, and that's our home.
Mm. Exactly.
So, but, you know, for the young people who are engaged in dangerous activities, that's because they haven't got any proper rites of passage, as Michael was saying. Remember how there was always the rites of passage and the children were involved in everyday activities and responsibilities of caring for each other and the land and food and growing food.
It's how we used to live.
Absolutely.
Family first.
Everything was integrated.
Exactly.
Everything was culture, care, health.
It respect.
Yes. It's so frustrating to see the way they compartmentalize everything. Everything goes into this box and that box and this area and that area. And there's so much time and money wasted on all their,
But you're talking about going into boxes and the boxes, and we have what you call yarning circles. Everyone's at the table, everybody can see each other face to face and have a conversation. Not square tables, not boxes, round tables. Yarning circles, so to speak, yes?
Well, we have the knowledge. It's right there. I was taught the knowledge when I came here. I was one of those lost children.
Mm.
I was struggling to survive. Luckily, I was brought up Aboriginal ways, so that gave me the right behaviours, you know, of caring and sharing.
Strong but foundations.
It's throughout the culture, our ancestors. Last night, I was trimming balga and burning it in a campfire to try and stop the fires.
Mm.
You know, so if I can do it, and I'm an older woman now, we can employ lots and lots of people out there cleaning up, getting rid of the weeds.
Exactly.
They talked about it way back in Ash Wednesday, what was wrong, how the fires were caused. People lost their lives way back in Ash Wednesday.
Exactly.
Yet they're still not employing people to do the prevention, Trevor.
And if we don't change the ways, more people are going to lose their lives.
Absolutely, and it's not just the people, it's the plants and the animals and the extinction that's caused by their horrific far too hot fires and all the climate change they cause.
Yes, my sister, I've got to keep moving. Thank you very much, my darling.
Well, thank you all very much for speaking, and that was a great conversation with everybody. You know, the deaths in custody, all of that's all been caused by their lack of proper cultural ways of living for everybody.
Point taken. Thanks, sis. That's Sylvia calling from WA, having her say here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch our other brother on the line, Anthony Munro on the line. Anthony, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Trav, yourself, mate?
Yeah, good, brother. Where are you calling from?
I'm coming from Shiny Owl Mackay here, bud.
Nice Mackay. Too deadly, brother. Who your mob were you, and where you from, brother?
I'm from a little sleepy town called Tinga, mate, before I rushed up to Mount Isa.
Okay, bro.
I'm Gumroy man.
Gumroy man. Too deadly, my brother. So you live in there in Mackay now, are you?
Yeah, I've been here for 30 years, bud. This is my little community away from home.
Deadly, brother, deadly, deadly. What you want to yarn about, cuss?
I just heard the politicians there, Senator Green, I think it was.
Yes, Anita Green, yep.
Yeah, just a little quick history lesson, bud. My dear old uncle that's having the state funeral very soon.
Yeah.
Discussed all these matters. We're treading over old time with new faces up top, not knowing the real struggle back from our old people's day.
Yep.
A quick history lesson, bud. There was recommendations that were read out to United under Malcolm Fraser's government. It's the only time that a leader of a country has addressed the United Nations on Indigenous rights. Now, there's 32 recommendations sitting in the United Nations Secretary's office that has to be rehashed and bring back to the table.
Yeah. Revisit, bring it back to the table.
Over the years, I've done this with a lot of policies structured around Indigenous people. They've let the old people pass away.
Yep.
Then they rehash it and water it all down just like native title.
Make it a clean piece of paper once again.
Yep, make it, and rehash the discussions. These discussions were held by leaders.
And that's why we sound like broken records, hey, Brother Anthony.
Yep. Well, you know, that's what frustrates me so much about these governments. They have the information.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
act on it.
We're a part of the United Nations now.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, I think we're just hanging in there.
Yeah, and that seems to fall on deaf ears as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's a article going around about the declarations to Indigenous under the United Nations. Well, that letter that went to the United Nations actually kick-started that documentation.
Mm.
So, you know, these these people and politicians, that they've got to go back to the drawing board and have a look at the history.
Sure, exactly.
People who were called and referred as the movers and shakers.
Yes.
And my dear old uncle, he was a personal advisor.
Well, here we are, like 2020, back in 1975, we're still singing the same song, for example. Things don't change, if things don't change, and nothing's changed.
You know, and I don't hear that, you know, the Mick Gooder or the Pearces, and often, you know, never refer to having a mandate.
Mm.
You know, the responsibilities and their duties as tradition owners to make sure that mandate is addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I carry a mandate.
Yep.
Too many great fellows in this country, I was handed over that mandate by my uncle. We will lay him to rest next fortnight on the 11th, at State Funeral in New South Wales.
Yeah, condolences, brother, yep.
Yeah, and so now that the old people have gone, my two old elders are gone now, there's the next generation to get up and take on that fight.
Yeah, the next generation are virtually singing the same song, aren't they? But it is what it is.